Morning. If you open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 15, and if you're interested, this is sermon number 85 in the Gospel of John that I'm trying to finish before Rick retires, as I promised him. So the Gospel of John chapter 15, we're done with chapter 14. What blessed chapters these are for us as we turn now to chapter 15 of the Gospel of John. Follow along as we read just the first six verses of this Gospel. This is Jesus' words, his continued discourse, or what is known as the upper room discourse, with his 11 disciples. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, lest it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burnt. So the word of God there. So we come in John chapter 15, and we must notice first of all that Jesus is not addressing a mixed audience in which there were true believers and some who were mere professors. Nor was he speaking to all 12 disciples. Judas, who was not a true believer, but a traitor and a counterfeit, had already left, we remember, at the supper. The audience or the hearers have not changed since Judas left the table. And there are some difficult verses in this section, and understanding who Jesus is addressing will hopefully help us to understand the meaning of the difficult text and keep things simple. We need to remember that these are illustrations used, that Jesus used pictures that we can understand. We must be careful of taking them too far. We must be careful of reading into them what they don't say, and we must be careful of saying what they do not say. So I definitely can't answer all your questions, but I do believe if we stick to the text, understand who the audience was that Jesus was speaking to, we can have a good idea of what Jesus was communicating. And the picture that Christ paints for us here, that's repeated in our text twice, needs to be borne in mind throughout our study today. That's three things: that the Father is the vine dresser, or the husbandman, or the gardener. Christ is the true vine, and true believers are the branches who are in the vine, and this passage makes it very clear. The branches are in the vine. And so I've called this sermon, this is God's garden, God's tree and planting, and the vine is God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone can give life and nourishment to the branches and give fruitfulness to those who are in him. Look at verse 1 and verse 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And verse 5, I am the vine, he repeats. You are the branches. You, the 11, the disciples that I'm talking to right now. This certainly denotes that those in Christ, in the vine, if one is in Christ, he is a new creation. I do not believe, as some commentators may suggest, that this is a picture of the visible church, and some would presume to try and overcome more difficult texts than the visible church. But the visible church did not even exist at this time in the Christian church, for one thing. And we mustn't manipulate text to suit ease of understanding, for ourselves. We just tackle these and try and understand by God's grace and the help of His Spirit. Now, I mentioned this still forms part of the upper room discourse as it's become known. And we gather from the last phrase, you may remember in chapter 14, what did Jesus say? Rise, let us go from here. And that Jesus and the 11 have now moved locations, and possibly to the Mount of Olives, as some of the other Gospels suggest. And from there, after the high priestly prayer, in John chapter 17, we will see Jesus and the 11 finally in the Garden of Gethsemane, where they prayed. And Jesus urged them to watch and pray, and where Jesus was betrayed and Judas and Jesus Christ arrested. So it is to the disciples that Jesus addresses these words before us today. And not to unbelievers, those who merely profess faith in Christ, but are in fact not true believers. And bear this in mind as we work our way through the text. And this does bring some problems which are a little difficult to understand. The picture of the church, the people of God, and our Savior, the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, as trees, or vines and branches, or as shoots, even our Savior, as a root, is certainly not new, and this metaphor is used extensively in the Old Testament scriptures too. And you may recall a few in Isaiah prophesying, in Isaiah 61, of the Babylonian exile and the Syrian oppression, speaking beyond his own time, speaking of future, and as is often the case, these prophets spoke of gospel grace, and we see those things in the words that we read in their prophecy. In verse 3 of Isaiah 61, we read, "To grant those who mourn in Zion and give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness." Believers as oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Well, there are many examples in the Old Testament. The metaphor before us today is of the grapevine and its branches. A rich and beautiful picture, having significance in so many ways, even as to the fruit of the vine, the blood of Jesus Christ represented in that, even as we partake of the Lord's Supper this very day. Well, we have three main points today, and we will deal with the first two this morning, so it's going to be a double sermon, and then the third point by way of application and lesson at our afternoon service before the Lord's Supper, and that will be a shorter meditation. So three main points, two this morning. Number one, main point number one, Christ is the true vine. Christ is the true vine. Verse 1, I am the vine, and my true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And this is not a reference to possible false vines that may be out there, the existence of those, as you might suppose. We have in Scripture warnings of antichrists, for example, and of false prophets and false teachers in the New Testament, so that one might suppose that there are false vines. But here it seems this is rather a reference to the vines in the Old Testament being types and shadows of the Lord Jesus Christ, now fulfilled by Christ and in Christ as the antitype, the true vine. And I'll explain. We have two sub-points under our heading, Christ is the true vine. Number one, the failed vine of the Old Testament. The failed vine of the Old Testament. The Old Testament, Israel, is referred to as a vine of the Lord. God's chosen people, destined by God through His covenant for great blessing, reward and inheritance of the promised land. And under the old covenants, the prosperity of this vine was conditional upon obedience to His law, in order to inherit these blessings, as we know. And you needn't turn to all of these. Consider some texts with me. You could write down the reference if you like. But listen, Psalm 80, verse 8 and 9. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The Lord redeemed His people from slavery in Egypt. He brought them out as a spared vine. God cleared the way, starting with the flight from Egypt. Those glorious signs of wonders, we've been reading about that in Exodus, through the Red Sea, and finally to give them Canaan, that land flowing with milk and honey. But as we know, because of their people, their sin, and their hard-heartedness, this did not go well or end well in many cases. God's faithfulness to His people was not met with the proper obedience and with the proper worship that He demanded under the Old Covenant. Consider Isaiah chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 and verse 7. Isaiah chapter 5. Let me sing for my beloved the love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones. He planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And verse 7 reads, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the host, the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed; for righteousness, but behold, an outcry." And these passages further throw further light on the declaration that Christ, that He was in fact the true vine. And so when He speaks today, we can understand what He said, "I am the true vine." Israel, as the type, had proved to be a failure. Jeremiah chapter 2, 21, "Yet I planted you a choice vine, holy or pure seed. How then have you turned degenerate and become a wild vine?" Hosea chapter 10 and verse 1 and 2. "Israel is a luxuriant vine that yields its fruit. The more its fruit increased, the more altars he built. As his country improved, he improved his pillars. His heart is false. Now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will break down the altars and destroy their pillars." Israel was the failed vine of the Old Testament. We observe secondly, our second sub-point, the true vine is perfectly exemplified in the incarnate Son of God. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." And the true vine is perfectly exemplified in the incarnate Son of God. Brothers and sisters, this is the gospel. In contrast to the failure, the degeneracy of the typical people, Christ says, "I am the true vine." The antitype that fulfills all expectations of the heavenly gardener or the vine dresser. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself in Isaiah 53 is likened to a root out of dry ground, you may remember. "For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him." And now Christ makes this declaration. The time had fully come. As promised, this root of Jesse, the promised Messiah, had come. The messenger of the Lord had suddenly appeared in the temple, as Malachi promised in his prophecy that he would, and all the types and the shadows of the Old Testament, including the failed vine of the nation of Israel, are fulfilled according to the promise. The light of the world, the Logos, the Word of God, the good shepherd, the door, the bread of life, the resurrection and the life, the one who is the way and the truth and the life. And now we see that he here is the true vine, perfectly exemplified in our Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God. Isn't this picture quite a vivid one? The picture of the vine, its beauty, its fertility, and its dependency, clinging for support onto that on and around which it grows, spreading its branches and its lovely fruit, the juice which makes glad the heart of God and of man, as the Bible says. This picture is painted throughout the Old Testament and heralds to us today the coming of the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ and his church, the branches, the planting of the Lord in fulfillment of prophecy. Judges 9:13, but the vine said to them, shall I leave my wine that cheers God and man and go hold sway over the trees? And Isaiah 11 verse 10, in that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal of all the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place will be glorious. Brothers and sisters, the true vine is perfectly exemplified in the incarnate Son of God. Christ is the true vine. Secondly, our second main point this morning, God the Father is the perfect gardener or vine dresser. God the Father is the perfect gardener or vine dresser. Verse 1 and 2, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And the branch, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. We have three sub-points under this main point. God the Father is the perfect gardener or vine dresser. Number one, we see the protecting care of the Father. We see the protecting care of the Father. Oh, brothers and sisters, his eye is upon all, and his hand tends to the weakest shoot. Every branch in the vine is under the protection and the protective care of the heavenly vine dresser. And as his care and protector was over that young, the root of Jesse that grew up before him like a dry, out of dry ground, sending his angels even to take charge of him upon this earth, over him, protecting and preserving him, raised him from the dead. In the same way, the protecting care of the Father is over the branches. The vine dresser is over every one of the branches in the vine. The gift of God given to the Son for whom he died, the church, we are his, and in Christ we are in the protective care of the perfect heavenly gardener. He watches over us down from the womb when we're being formed in our mother's wombs, while we were still being knit together. For the church is the gift of God to the Son, and we are under his protective care. He watches over us. And not one of them will be lost. Not one of them will be lost. And not one will hide from his watchful eye and forfeit his protection and care. Isaiah 42 and verse 3 reminds us, a bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Brothers and sisters, this is the heavenly gardener, the vine dresser, whose watchful eye is over each one of his children. As it was written of Christ on this earth, so it is for everyone for whom Christ died. Listen to Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He is our refuge and our fortress, God in whom we trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wing you will find refuge. In Christ, we are under the protecting care of the Father, the vine dresser. Secondly, we see of the vine dresser, the perfect heavenly gardener and vine dresser, his watchfulness over the vine and the branches. Nothing escapes God's eye. Just as the gardener notices daily the condition of each branch of the vine, watering, training, pruning where necessary, so the vine dresser is constantly occupied with the need and the welfare of those who are joined to Christ. Remember the promise, not one of them will perish. My wife loves to garden. It gives her so much joy. She spends a lot of time in her garden. That's why she not often gets all her work done in her little shop. But she notices everything. And we missed a night bloomer the other day. And that was terrible. Because the blooms run about 9 o'clock maybe once a year. Thanks to Brother Kirk. He gave us that bloom. And it still blooms every year. But she notices. And she says, have you seen that plant by the door of your office? I'm like, what are you talking about? No, there's 5 new roses. She cares and she trims and she makes sure that it is taken care of. And such is the heavenly gardener in a perfect and wonderful way to each one of his children, to each branch who is in the vine. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Well, this verse, as well as verse 6, obviously raises some questions. Verse 6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. And both these verses seem to indicate the removal of a believer from the vine. And so this may even seem to imply the possibility, which is not a possibility, of a believer falling from grace and losing his salvation. But we know very clearly this cannot be. And others have suggested that the vine and the branches, as I mentioned, is an illustration of the visible church of Christ. But we know this also is not quite feasible, is it? Being a mix of true believers, impostors, and mere professors, this would be unsatisfactory given the text before us. Our Lord was addressing his disciples, the 11 true believers. And so our text clearly shows in verse 3, what is Christ's assessment of them? You are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. The Lord was not speaking to professors and warning them that God requires truth in the inward parts, but he's talking to his disciples, to genuine believers, instructing, admonishing, and warning them. And taking away in the context cannot therefore mean that they lose their salvation. The scriptures are very clear concerning this. And brothers and sisters, we must consider that Christ and the gardener and the vine dresser is building his church, and not the forces of all hell or the failures or faithfulness of his people can stem the flow of the kingdom of God. Christ will build his kingdom. Though we fail and are sometimes faithless, though we fail sometimes to bear fruit, because of sin or lack of attention in our souls to the means of grace, God will accomplish his work in Christ through his church. The Lord will at times remove his people from avenues of work. Even ministers of the gospel who are not faithful and have departed from the truth, though true believers, God will accomplish his salvation for the earth, and God will accomplish all of his purposes that he purposed. This is a pruning and a cutting back and a bringing others to accomplish his purposes. Some sow, some reap, some water. It is God's work. It is God who gives the increase. Brothers and sisters, we should take a sober warning from this when we fail to bear fruit, fail to portray the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, because we lose focus, because we're distracted by the things of the world, because we remove ourselves from the means of grace, and we grieve the Spirit by failing to be useful for his kingdom and to his people, fail to watch our lives and our doctrine closely. Are there believers like this? There certainly are. And I was one. And you at some time or some other have been one that have not borne fruit as you would. And that is where the God nut comes. We need to be reminded that all of our works will be tested by fire. And there are blessed rewards waiting for those who are faithful to the end. There may not be any punishments in heaven, but the Bible makes it very clear there are rewards in heaven to those who are faithful to the end. Consider 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in glory and praise and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. And literally, this could be translated, every branch in me no longer bearing fruit. It is not a branch that never bore fruit, but is no longer bearing fruit. Rather speaks of a branch not drawing his proper sustenance from the vine, but is distracted by the cares of the world, remaining sin, perhaps causing the believer to step into darkness. And what happens? The pruning knife will come. The pruning knife will come. This first rose bush out here, my wife has cut it right back. There's not a rose. It looks desert. It looks dead. It looks terrible. She's carried it away and thrown it away. But come in the spring, it will flourish with roses. The chastisements and the corrections of the loving gardener through his word and by his Spirit. And so John 14, filled with those glorious promises and comforts, and John 15 comes and warns the believer with all these blessings and comforts, with the gift of the Spirit that is to come, here is your responsibility. Bear fruit. Bear fruit. How do I do this? By remaining in the vine. Brothers and sisters, the beauty is Scripture gives us the means to be more effective and faithful. In 2 Peter, Peter addresses this very thing, giving us the godly disciplines we need to exert. And it's in the context of the same thing we have here in John, in the context of the life of godliness that he has given, and the precious and great promises. And Peter picks up in verse 5 and he says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement to your faith with virtue, and with virtue knowledge, and with knowledge self-control, and with self-control steadfastness, and steadfastness godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can become unfruitful. We can become ineffective. We can be of no help to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can neglect to pay attention to the means of grace and not come and worship together with his people, not read and not pray. We fill our mind with the things of the earth and the cares of this world and the love of the world, and we step into darkness, then the pruning life will come. This is the teaching of this chapter. Titus chapter 3 and verse 14, and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works. You're a believer. You have the fruit of the Spirit here. Get this, there's something you have to do. You have to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Let the people learn to devote themselves to good works. And if you don't do that, then you're not bearing fruit as you ought to. And if the love and the joy, the peace, and all of these fruit of the spirits are not evident in your life, then the pruning knife will come. And if your usefulness to the gospel is stifled, others will take your place. These things are the hints to abiding in the vine, which we will talk about more in our application this afternoon. Watchfulness of the vine dresser. Thirdly and finally, we observe in the perfect wine dresser his faithfulness. The faithfulness of the vine dresser or the gardener. Notice, and we read what we've read already, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. See the faithfulness of the vine dresser in the garden of the Lord. No branch is allowed to run to waste, but he prunes and he feeds and he waters. He will faithfully tend to every branch in a vine. When a branch is fruitless, he tends to it. If it is bearing fruit, he will purge it that it may bring forth more fruit. Here is a very blessed picture, brothers and sisters. The vine dresser tends to the vine himself. He does not leave it to others. And God tends to his church. God watches over his church with his watchful eye. He protects his church. And he is faithful because of Christ and through Christ, who is the true vine in whom we are called to abide and to remain. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But God in his person is a faithful God to his Son, and because of his Son and the work that he accomplished on the cross, and it is for Christ's sake to his people that not one of them would perish. The scriptures are clear. Neither height nor depth, nor angels, principalities, nothing in all the earth can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The true believer cannot fall away. As we know, the teaching of Scripture is very clear regarding this. If Christ died for your sins, it is according to the eternal plan and predestination of God in eternity. And there is nothing that can separate us from his love. Listen to Romans 5 and verse 10. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, now that we've been reconciled, shall we be saved by this life. This is the clear teaching of the Scriptures. We have an olive tree in the back of our garden. We don't particularly like it because we don't want olives. It's so easy to buy olive oil at the local supermarket. But since we moved in nearly 4 years ago, for 3 years, it has produced zero fruit. And the church gardeners, when it gets really unruly and starts lying on our roof and becomes a mess, they come and they cut it back. And it looks like I do after I've gone to the hairdresser and didn't pay attention to what he's doing. Just make it shorter, neater. Wow, that's a bit of a... And that's what it looks like. Kind of looks bare. Removing and trimming branches and edges and leaves and the flowers. And it looked pretty sick. Get this year it's full of fruit. It's full of fruit. There's olives on the ground. Everywhere you look, there's these little olives. They're really bitter if you taste them. I don't think you're supposed to eat them. But we're not going to be squeezing grapes. Squeezing olives. Brothers and sisters, such is the work of the perfect, faithful vine dresser to our souls. We are in Christ. We are in the vine. The planting of the Lord grafted into the vine by Christ. The heavenly gardener will remain faithful. He will prune and he will cut back. He will remove and he'll burn the dross. And he'll test our works by fire. It will be burned. And that branch again will bear fruit. Because he is the faithful gardener. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit, the helper that he promised in John 14. Sanctification and purification by the water of the Word. The work of the Spirit through the Word by the faithful vine dresser. Despite all these things, the believers in Christ, like the disciples, in spite of our faithlessness, in spite of our distraction, in spite of our failure to bear fruit, Christ says to us, as he says to his disciples, "You're already clean. Because of the word that I've spoken to you." This is the work of the faithful vine dresser. They are in the vine. They are the chosen children of God for whom Christ died. This describes the believer's state and eternal standing before God. Consider the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father, the divine gardener, and our faithlessness can never negate his faithfulness. And our sin can never overturn or negate the blood of Christ by which we are purified from all of our sin. Romans 3 verse 3 says, "What if some were unfaithful? Does this faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means." Brothers and sisters, this is Jesus Christ who is the true vine. This is the Father who is the faithful, who is the protecting, who is the watchful vine dresser over our souls. And I close with this, and we'll continue this afternoon with the applications. And how do we do this? What is our part? How do we remain in the vine that we might bear fruit? I close with this. It's from Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. "The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity." Christ is the true vine. God the Father is the perfect gardener or vine dresser. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessed word. And we stand in awe this day of the words of your law. How we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we look at our hearts and we who have been cleansed from our sin, we who have the Spirit of God within us, we who have the watchful eye and the care of the divine gardener watching over each one of us, and yet we find our hearts are still so prone to sin, and yet we find we do not love our brothers as we ought to, and yet we find we become unfruitful and unuseful in the gospel. How we thank you for that pruning and the watering, and the forgiveness of our sins, which is needed every day to cleanse us again from all unrighteousness. Oh, our Heavenly Father, we pray that by your Spirit and by your grace, we would remain in the vine, living in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as we have been taught. And we pray this for Christ's sake and for his glory. Amen.